6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Yes, indeed. Hello. Happy Monday, everybody.
What is happening?
Nice little weekend?
Dude, it's a great little weekend. It was 70 degrees both days. Are you kidding me? How could you beat that? The end of April.
Yeah, I've caught the bug.
What's the bug? The outside bug? The golf bug? What bug we got?
Oh.
The sunshine bug?
I got a golf itch yesterday watching a playoff between Fitzpatrick and Scheffler. But,
how do you not? How do you not get that itch?
My backyard. I've lived in my house for 4 years.
Yeah.
I think it's been 4 years.
Feels like it's been longer than that, hasn't it?
It's 4 or 5. We can't remember if it was 21 or 22. We keep forgetting.
It's all a blur.
And we haven't done anything to our backyard. Our backyard's kind of sloped. It's really awful. It's hard pan. It's got rock in weird places. It's got awful patchy grass.
Oh, the rocks are the worst to deal with.
I just look at it and I go, no. I walk away.
I don't want to do it.
And we did a lot of front yard work this weekend, a lot of weeding, a lot
of hanging flowers,
went to some garden places.
Let's go.
I've caught the itch. Enough is enough. I'm transforming my backyard.
Now is the time.
I'm rolling the sleeves up.
You're the captain now, okay?
Yes.
It's a great idea this time of year, and I feel exactly the same. Like, we moved in last summer, and it was tough because it's like middle of summer or early summer when we moved in, like June-ish. And it's at that point, everything's burned out. It's hot. I don't want to be outside. But this is the perfect time of year. Like, you can make an argument that the days we got this weekend are some of the nicest days we'll get of the calendar year.
Oh, they were perfect.
Because by the time you get to the end of June and July, there's likely going to be some 95-plus degree days in there. And for most people, that's just too hot. I don't want to be outside.
Right.
Especially if you have young kids. Like, getting a day randomly that's overcast, not glaring sun, in the low to mid 70s, that is literally perfect weather.
Yeah.
You cannot beat that.
I know.
And it's a little chill in the morning, and then it kind of warms up as the day goes on. I was outside all weekend. I felt bad for the NBA playoffs.
Well,
thankfully, the Blazers played last night.
A couple of those series you didn't need to be indoors.
The early games yesterday, I didn't watch a second of. I'm like, let's check the scores. If they're competitive, I'll turn them on. And then I see the finals, and I'm like, nope, I didn't need to watch any of that. And then caught the end of the Detroit-Orlando game because that was a massive upset.
Detroit-Orlando. Yeah.
Like, that needed to be watched. And then by the time it's 6 o'clock, like, you're winding down. It was perfect. I was so glad the Blazers didn't play at 12:30 yesterday because that would have sucked. It was beautiful, and I wanted to be outside. Niece had a birthday party at the park. We walked up. We were outside all day yesterday and Saturday.
Raptors-Cavs, you didn't need it.
No.
Nuggets-Wolves was good.
Nuggets-Wolves wasn't a bad game.
It was a good series.
That kind of hit perfectly with his nap time on Saturday, so I was able to watch a good chunk of the second half.
I think most people probably skipped my Hawks-Knicks series. I had it on in my garage while we were out in the front.
Yeah, you got stuff going on. You're checking the TV.
You know, it ended up being Knicks pulling away there at the end and not being as close.
Right.
Rockets Lakers, I thought, actually sucked.
Yeah, that game was not. It was you were appreciative of LeBron. Like, wow, he's
sure.
Oh my God, this is still happening.
Look at Luke Kennard.
This is still a thing. Luke Kennard cannot miss. But when Kevin Durant was announced he couldn't play, you're like, all right, cool. Now Luca,
I know, where did that
Reeves
come from?
And Kevin Durant aren't available. Evidently he banged knees with somebody in practice or shoot around. Like, all right, that sucks.
76ers Celtics, no thanks.
That game was terrible.
Suns Thunder, no. Absolutely never gave it a second.
No. Did you see pregame? Dylan Brooks didn't let Chet touch the ball, and then they lost by 35. Said, nope, you're not going to do it. I'm going to get in your head right out of the gate.
Is there a better player to lose than Dylan Brooks?
No, he's everybody.
Remember the I
him.
Poke Bears,
I
and
poke
then LeBron
bears.
Scored 40 on him. Yeah, he just didn't talk to the media again.
It's like the Lance Stevenson, I'm going to blow in your ear, and then we're going to lose this playoff series.
Yeah, it was one of those, like, our game and then the Magic Piston game. And then Wolves Nuggets is about all you got.
Right.
So, like, with the weather here.
And how many people watch Magic and Pistons just because it was the game on before our game?
Yeah.
And you saw the fourth quarter because you were sitting around waiting for our game to start.
Well, I would argue how many people didn't watch it and then watched it in the fourth knowing our game was close, but you were outside enjoying what yesterday
Wait,
was.
Wait, they're winning? Wait, what? The eighth seed's going to win game one? What's happening right
it's
now?
It's wild. Magic or eighth seed, what's going on here?
It's pretty cool. I didn't know these games were on TV.
I think what's unique, so when I used to do the pod with Danny,
mm-hmm.
and we just do Blazer NBA centric stuff. It was always bizarre to live in two worlds. It'd be in the world of, like, the ball is life, like NBA and nothing else people world.
Yeah.
and then come in and do this show, and it's NFL Draft Week on The Fan.
Hey, did you see that Giants trade this weekend?
Oh, I did see that Giant trade.
Dude, we got to talk about that. AJ Brown has evidently been traded, but he hasn't been traded.
They have to wait till a designated date.
What are we doing here?
There's a weird trade that's happened. By the way, we nailed the team.
We did, totally.
We told you that team was going to probably trade for him.
Racino didn't break that news.
Well.
Too soon, sorry. Did anybody else have that thought when they saw that report? Oh, okay, Schefter's got this scoop now, huh?
Who is the gal that she used to work at? Josina Anderson. Does Josina just do things like break news still, but not work for an entity?
Like, I'm just going to fly. I'm going to be my own boss right now?
Yeah. Does she just like keep breaking news?
I mean, the sources haven't gone away. She could break them on Twitter if she wanted to.
Maybe they have.
Well,
I don't know if
them.
The wives of the GMs and coaches getting texts from Diana Rossini asking for saucing.
I love how Vrabel just hasn't had to say anything, too. He's just like,
skate on this.
Who cares? Like, I'm married. I have kids. It doesn't matter.
Nope.
I'm just, you know, still the coach of the Patriots.
I was in the Super Bowl. She wasn't.
Yeah. That's maybe if you didn't spend so much time with Diana, you wouldn't have got blown out by the Seahawks.
We had college football spring games this weekend read about.
We had a random beef pop up. I don't know if you know the story, but I'm going to send the audio to Brandon. We had a random college football beef show up this weekend.
We did, and I actually had it on the show notes of,
oh, yeah.
We win one. We're popping off pretty loudly.
Oh, yeah, baby.
And I think it's going to become quickly insufferable, that staff. I think you could argue they already have.
Most people would say they're already there.
And now I feel like all give of them are like, well, now we all get to talk.
Now give them time.
Like, okay.
So it comes full circle.
It's funny to be in the basketball tunnel. Like, it's all I care about is the NBA, the Blazers.
Right.
And then balance it. And now I'm like, I don't do the pod anymore.
No.
And so I come in here, and I got all this football, I got these show notes, and then I'm like, oh, yeah,
right.
The NBA. And I'm thinking of all the sports fans that watched 25% of that Magic Piston game, even though it was an 8 seed pulling off a 1 seed against the 1.
Shocking upset in game 1.
Yes.
The weather could not have been any worse for the ratings locally for the NBA playoffs. It's one of the reasons, like, if you rewind a week previous, I was actually kind of glad, although the difficulty of watching the Masters is that we talk about the itch. Like, watching the Masters gives you the itch to want to go
especially
play golf.
If it's nice.
If it's not, like, yeah. But then the weekend was kind of nice, and then you got to Sunday, and what was Sunday? It was pretty nasty. Like, it was overcast. It was raining all day. You're not going outside and doing anything, at least for a long stretch of time. And so it was perfect. I just wanted to lay on my couch and watch golf all day, and I didn't want to look out my window and be like, God, it's 72 degrees and sunny. I feel like a POS. And I would have had that this weekend. When you get these kind of weekends, you got to capitalize on them. If it's a Tuesday or Wednesday, it's different because you're working, your kids are in school or whatever. But weekends and everybody's around, like, my entire neighborhood was outside for 48 straight hours, and it was delightful. And I think the Portland market ratings for the NBA playoffs will showcase when it's that nice, we're not going to sit around inside.
You think so, huh?
I think so. I think Blazer game ratings will be solid because it's the end of the weekend at 6 o'clock. But those early games Saturday and Sunday, man, I don't know why you would have sat inside and watched the entire thing.
Yeah, so yesterday the first game was the 76ers and Celtics. The wife and I, we were pretty busy this weekend, so we ran to a spot off of Belmont.
Mm-hmm.
And we wanted to go try it. And I looked at the schedule because I didn't know the order of the games.
What time they were going to be on.
I saw the first two, and I'm like, oh, I got time.
We're fine.
What do I need to have a 76ers Celtics for? I know what's going to happen. I popped open my phone real quick when the wife went to go get our drinks, and I went, yep. Put it away.
They're down by 20.
Exactly.
No need to watch. I'll check again in 20 minutes, and we'll see. Nope, still down by 20.
You're not beating the weather to get me to watch 76ers and Celtics. I went to one of the local stores. I was on an errand run, and I was with the wife, and the sun was shining at this point, and I went, God, I should be golfing right now.
Should be playing golf right now.
And a random guy in the parking lot turns, and he goes, tell me about it, man. And the wife starts laughing, and I'm like, just can't beat it.
I'm right there with you, brother.
Can't beat it.
I'm suffering, too.
Just can't beat it, man.
Oh, man. It's when you're so close to the beginning of summer, like I was hanging out with the nieces and nephew this weekend.
See, give me this
they
weather.
They can already taste summer. It's like we're a month away.
It's going to be unbearable.
It's going to be too hot.
There's going to be fire smoke.
I know.
It's going to be 102.
I know.
It's like, hey, what's the low today? It's going to be 91.
I know.
Our air conditioners can't be on 60% of the time because it's going to be too hot for them to operate.
105, turn it to 85 inside. You're sitting in a microwave all day.
I mean, you have Three Mountains Home Services on speed dial this summer. Like, give me what this weekend was.
Exactly.
70, 74. It feels a little hot because we're not used to that weather, but like overall, it's manageable.
It's funny you brought up the yard stuff though, because I'm in the same mindset right now, like trying to get as much done as I can. It also helps, like, the kid is old enough now where he likes He likes like walking around and doing yard work. He's got his little
you
fake
just have
mower
run around in the backyard.
Dude,
anyway.
It's perfect. So it's like I want to be outside anyways. I want him to be outside anyway. Yeah. So I might as well get something done while I'm out here instead of sitting around. He's hitting golf balls all over the backyard and right. I'm mowing or pulling weeds or whatever the case. And I had the neighbor kids got a new hoop across the street, which is a big deal this weekend. New basketball hoop went in across the street. So all the neighbors like glommed in front of our house
oh, yeah.
and the neighbor's house. They're all out there shooting hoops.
Oh yeah.
So he was out there, and in the process of them shooting hoops, they started praising my front lawn, and I got to tell you, as a 37-year-old, that's about as good as it can get. I had a neighbor ask me with my Masters flag if I was playing in the Masters, and that I thought was going to be the peak, and then now it was an argument over his lawn is one of the best in the neighborhood, mm-hmm. and then yelling about their parents not taking their lawn as seriously and not being as good-looking as my lawn. And I'm sitting over here, I'm watching Teddy dribble the basketball, I'm listening to the debate thinking, you damn right it is. You damn right it is.
I think my neighbors hate my front yard.
Because it's all rock.
Well, it's rock. I have a pathway of three-quarter minus, you know, one of those things, and then bark dust.
Yeah.
It's like a triple thing with all these, like, plants that are pollinators slash year-round can survive any weather plants.
Got to have your pollinators in the front yard.
We put some hanging flowers
Dude,
up
the hanging
on the
flowers
front.
Are delightful.
We got the Japanese maple, so it kind of, like, is right in the front, and my dad made me trim it the first year we moved in. He goes, you always trim this, and he trimmed it. Really, it looked like a bowl cut.
You gotta cut them back.
And the wife was like, I hated that he did that. So we've let it grow out every year since.
Yeah.
And it's actually sneaky because we have two chairs in our front little porch area, and when we sit there, it's a privacy wall, that Japanese maple.
Blocks you off. Nobody can see you.
It's perfect.
If you want to talk, you can.
We had hummingbird hitting us this weekend.
That's perfect.
So I need to get the backyard in order, but I think my neighbors hate it because they're all grass people. They mow.
Right.
They're edging. I don't do any of that.
We're mowers and edgers over here, man. That's what we do. We're out here grinding.
I wanted nothing to do with that life.
I love mowing the lawn.
I love a good mower. I love the smell of gas.
Yeah, you put the gas in, you got the smell going.
But I don't miss, like, yanking it out of the shed, bringing it to the front. Oh, why is it caught? Oh, why is this not working? Spark plug issue. No spark plug issue.
This is why you get a mower you can plug in, buddy.
Yeah,
they don't break down on you. You plug those SOBs in, you're good to go.
You're not wrong on that.
That's what you got to do. Save the environment.
Thanks to 76ers, Celtics, Suns, Thunder, I've caught the itch. It's time to get the backyard in order.
This is what we do, man. Thanks to the NBA playoffs for being largely irrelevant early yesterday because I wanted to be outside watching sports, and it was delightful yesterday.
Might have to repower rank my series of interest now after having one game sample sizes.
You're already out on Knicks-Hawks? One game did it to you?
I'm not out on that. Actually, I thought us, Magic Pistons, Wolves,
Wolves Nuggets, a decent game.
And Hawks, Knicks are the four best.
Those are the only four relevant series.
I think
probably
those are the only
in
four, you know, unless the Raptors can sneak up on the Cavs, but I don't think anybody cares about the Raptors.
No, not an encouraging start for them. That game seemed pretty irrelevant. I know they put a little lipstick on the pig in the fourth quarter, but that for the first three quarters, you're like, yeah, that's just kind of going how I thought it would.
Yeah.
Cleveland's running away from them.
Yep.
And I don't think there's going to be a series there. Yeah, the only one, I mean, we'll see on Houston and LA. Like, what's the injury status of guys when they come
back? I hate watching Houston.
I get
boring.
It.
I think they suck. I think NA is having a terrible year as a coach. And the Lakers just, you know what that feels like? That series is probably not in there for me because the Nuggets could go to the finals.
Yeah.
Right? The Wolves beating the Nuggets would be a huge story. Like, is Ant Edwards going to go back to the Western Conference Finals?
3 years in a row, maybe.
You've got the Wimby. You've got the Denny Blazers. And then the Hawks-Knicks, the Knicks could be in the finals from the East because the East is so wide open.
Orlando could win the East at this point maybe for all we know.
Yeah, maybe Orlando has something. I don't view Houston and L.A. and say, these teams are going to do something.
No.
That's the loser of the next round, the winner of that.
They're going to get, because I believe the winner of that series will play Oklahoma City in the second round. Yeah, it's just, you're not winning that.
Even with Luka and Reeves, you're not beating the Thunder, and the Houston Rockets are terrible.
You're a sacrificial lamb that'll be put on a platter and eaten relatively quickly.
It just, that's why
Thank
the series feels
coming.
Irrelevant to me.
I did have the thought, and I remember we debated it last week of like hope as NBA fans and all that. And I remember bringing up Indiana as like, you know, that's the example you want to look at. Do they have a star? Do they have an MVP? They went all the way to the finals last year. How exciting is that? But they get to play in the Eastern Conference. And then seeing Orlando win game one, I'm like, why can't we be in the East? How much different do you feel for in the, like, I think we could win a series or two in the East, man. I think we might have a chance at that. But
who's to say we don't win a series or two in this
very
playoff?
It is only one game, Bob. It's only one game.
It's only one game.
It's a long ways to go.
Let's start with that. Let's do a little bit of a local flavor here and kind of start. We'll give you our new poll question of the day.
Ooh, look at us.
We're going to introduce something to you. So we'll get to that. It is a loaded show, Dirt and Sprague. Let's get it going on 105.1, The Fan. All right, welcome back in. 6:20 a.m. Good morning, Portland. Your neighborhood restaurant group poll question of the day.
What?
How concerned are you about all the reported cost-cutting moves by new owner Tom Dundon? Very concerned, mildly concerned, kind of concerned. Calm down. Wait and see. Your neighborhood restaurant group brings the fan poll question on X every day and dinner tonight at one of their five locations, Sandio's, Big's Chicken, Reverend's Barbecue, 808 Hawaiian, and Laurelhurst Market Steakhouse. Do you think Tom Dundon watched last night's Blazer playoff game?
Yeah.
And had a massive panic attack seeing another NBA owner buy not one, but three different colored T-shirts for their crowd?
I think he did.
What? How much does that cost?
What? Wait, what?
What are you doing here?
We can do more than one color?
What?
Oh, no.
You're allowed to do T-shirts for a team?
How could you afford this? Aren't you broke?
No, I think he was consulting of how much money he's saving by only avoiding one color.
I think he was sitting in the ownership suite just kind of like doing the dumb and dumber paying people when they're walking in the valets. It's a 20, it's 20, it's 20, it's 20. How much should I save?
He's either having a massive panic attack seeing another ownership group go, wait, one, two, three colors, or he's laughing with his feet kicked up, calculating how much he's saving, not having to buy three different colors for his fan base.
Also, probably looking down at the bench the entire game saying, who's the, there's like a Youngblood in there. Who are our two-way players? I know Caleb. That's the only one I know. There's some guy named Youngblood. I didn't even know was on the roster. He's not there. That's right. You're not here. I say $4,000.
He probably looked at the Spurs bench. Who are these guys just wearing clothes?
What is this nonsense about?
Why are they on the bench?
We don't have enough room for them anyways, dude.
If they don't play, they shouldn't be there.
It's cramped down there. I'm surprised that NBA players don't fight more against having more space on the bench. Not a lot of space down there.
Well, why do they need more space?
They're all packed in like sardines. Your knees are touching the entire game.
Gotta sell tickets,
guys. Gotta lay down on the floor. Like, put that in the next CBA. I need more space down here.
You want it to be like they fly first class?
Yeah, that'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Just like lounge chairs. You think Wemby would kick his feet up?
Dude, if you gave him recliners on courtside, you absolutely would. If you're not playing the entire game, you know you're not getting in. There's no need to warm up. You're one of these two-way guys. You're just in a uniform. Jan Hansen was not getting in the game last night.
Dude.
He could have easily reclined that chair.
Could you imagine a weird society? You probably could, actually. Imagine this. So they get their wish that Dirt's saying. You get all this extra space on the bench.
More room for activities.
Couldn't you see Wemby with, like, his 7'9" reclining chair fully on his back as he subs out? And he's watching the game with VR goggles. He's just looking straight up, and the VR goggles are showing him
like,
the game.
Hey, Wemby, it's happening right in front of you.
It's right in front of you.
You're sitting courtside for the game. I'm not sure if you're aware of that.
I don't want to sit up.
It is 5 feet away from your face right now, but you go ahead and lean back and watch that thing in virtual reality, all right? You do you, boo. Maybe he's doing the Spider-Man virtual reality. He wants Spider-Man on the floor with him, thanks to Adam Silver.
Full admission.
Yeah, what do you got?
So I accomplished my goal yesterday. I was really busy. It was like, from the yard work to running errands to getting dinner done and eaten and the dishes cleaned and the laundry clean and folded and put away, literally hung my last shirt as the game, like they broke into San Antonio and did the starting lineup. And I will tell you, man, there is a rush of excitement and happiness I had just being able to sit down and watch a team we talk about.
Yeah.
Be on a television in the playoffs. Whether they make this series last very long, we'll get into all the details of that.
Sure, we'll wait and see.
It just felt really good on a Sunday. I'd gotten all my stuff done. I had a busy, fun weekend, and all my responsibilities were over. I was sitting down watching a basketball game with stakes that mattered, and our team was involved.
It was perfect, man. Who knows, to your point, how this is all going to play out, right? And what the playoff series will ultimately look like. I did answer one of the questions I had going in, and that was, yeah, I already hate San Antonio. It didn't take very long. I can't stand Wemby. He's flopping at 7'5". Like, get this guy off my TV. Falling on people. Like, God, his candy French ass. I can't stand him. So that was nice to at least welcome the hate back. But just having your team be in a spotlight game, because I would argue it was one of the more anticipated games of the weekend. Now, we had very little to do with that. The reason the NBC crew sent the number one broadcast team to the game was because of Victor Wembanyama making his playoff debut, and he certainly didn't disappoint. But just being back in the spotlight, being back in the playoffs, and having those things to talk about, it has been a nice end of the season in that regard. And getting the spotlight, like, it wasn't a blowout from start to finish. And
no,
so
I thought it was a good game.
It kept everybody around for four quarters. You didn't put on a Phoenix Suns, you know, performance where the game is essentially over in the second quarter, or a Philadelphia 76ers performance where the game was over in the first half and there was no need to watch the rest of it. And you know how old I am, right? How I feel about start times of games. I'd like these things to end in a timely manner. 6 o'clock, well, I know it was a little bit later than that. It ended up being about 6:15, 6:20. Yeah. Still a perfect ending of the game in terms of time for a Sunday night to, like, all right, game's done. I got a little bit more time to wrap stuff up for the weekend. 6 o'clock tips are going to be absolutely perfect in the playoffs.
Yeah, I didn't have a lot of, like, expectation they'd win game one. I didn't go in with, like, oh, this is the game they're gonna get, but I was riding a high that day because I woke up at five. My soccer team won a much needed victory in the relegation battle.
Ole, 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 ole.
Got a hat trick in that match.
Ole.
And then later on, I got to watch my Bravos complete the sweep of the Phillies on Sunday Night Baseball with John Kruk on the call, so that was great.
Yeah, the NBC thing of doing the random or the team guy involved.
I like it.
It's interesting. I mean, it's worked in some cases.
When you
in
have
other
John
cases,
Kruk,
it has not worked.
And not Andrew Jones.
Andrew Jones.
It seems to be a lot better.
Now, was he the only one on the call, or did they bring another guy into the booth?
I forget the other guy.
Okay.
John Kruk is so good.
But there was another guy there.
Yeah, there was
okay.
one more. It's
That's
usually
totally
Benetti
fine.
And then, like, a rotating cast.
I thought they brought one from each team or tried to have a rep from each team kind of on the call. So this is the vibe I was getting, but I have not watched a lot of Sunday Night Baseball.
I don't know if that's the case.
Okay, that's why I thought
Text
Andrew Jones,
correct me if I'm wrong,
was on the game, and the Phillies were in this game, right? So Kruk's part of the Philly broadcast team.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, you're right, because
I think that's what they do.
Was on with the Guardian Bravo game.
I also have not watched Sunday Night Baseball yet, so I couldn't tell you.
It's really good.
Okay.
I enjoyed on NBC. They were on Peacock only yesterday for obvious reasons.
My team lost, having more hits than the other team yesterday, and the other team committed three errors, and they lost 3-0.
Oh, your team sucks.
They do. They're really bad.
You know, I said on Friday, like, I hear your point of always losing to them in the playoffs and how much it sucks.
Yeah.
I also have, like, always had a hard time truly hating them because I just, the most hateable thing about them is that they just win
it's
and they're
good.
Kind of boring,
yeah,
right?
That they're good.
But this is a new rendition. This one feels a little different than the Duncan Robinson, Parker Ginobili days.
Mm-hmm.
He's so different and unique that I could totally see us walking out hating them if you don't already. But I would argue the thing that drove me to start going, okay. So I'd seen this all year, and I know you hadn't, which is why your dead giveaway on the text was how I know you hadn't. So their arena's become a soccer arena.
Yeah.
They do a lot of the chanting, the whole thing. They have a section. Yeah. And then when they win, they do the drum.
So this is a new thing they started this year?
I'm not going to claim to say they didn't do it last year. I'm just going to tell you I knew that they did this year.
I'm sitting around at the end of the game like, what is happening right now?
Yeah, so they bang the drum after the win, and it's doing the skull clap.
Yes, so one of the players, they have a big drum center court, and he bangs it twice, and everybody claps, and there's a pause. Bang,
it was Devin Vassell.
Clap.
Yes.
Clap. It's if you've seen a skull chant at a Minnesota Vikings game that they've been doing for decades, it's literally that.
And then the atmosphere, I thought the energy was really good. I thought it was really loud.
Yeah.
And then I personally, I loved the three colors of the T-shirts. I know we'll get to the T-shirt gate and Tom Dundon today. But
the San Antonio Fiesta,
I loved the Fiesta. My daughter's like, that's a really nice court. I'm like, I know. The jerseys are sweet. Here we go.
Did you see what they did pregame, by the way? For like 30 minutes during warmups, they had their camera person in the arena for the Jumbotron just scanning the crowd, finding people who had not put the shirt on yet.
Oh, to shame them.
And shamed them into putting the shirt on.
Such a good idea.
And there was it was a thing that was like, put your shirt on. And all the fans would start like, put your shirt on. And then you would eventually bully them into wearing their shirt.
But see, it's making me hate them because I'm like, we're better crowd than them. You'll see. Game three. Game four. You'll see.
It's been such just a long, hard six years for San Antonio.
Oh,
I mean,
seven.
Just seven years. I mean, the life of a Spurs fan over the last 25 to 30 years has been, you've had nothing to cheer for. There's been no positives. They've had nothing going for them.
We're kind of the same franchise right now, but they're better than us, obviously, with Wemby. But it's the crowd. It's the energy. It's the... They've brought the soccer atmosphere to an like a European basketball game now is happening in San Antonio.
The skull chants are really stupid. They just blatantly stole
that. They were chanting all game, different names.
I mean, the chanting, that's
players,
fine. You can chant all you want as a crowd. That's fine. Come up with something else to do at the end of games. That's like
their fiesta.
They just plagiarized the Skull Chant.
Well, yeah.
It was like the admin just Googled, what are cool things sports teams do? And anybody who's ever seen a Skull Chant knows how badass it is at the start of a Vikings game.
Yeah.
And it makes you jealous. You want to be a Vikings fan.
It does.
And they just completely ripped it off. You know what else they ripped off is the Panthers do a big bang the drum thing in Carolina.
Yeah,
that's
they do.
Their whole thing.
They do.
They bang on
pre-game.
A big drum pregame.
Yeah.
They're just stealing things from the NFL.
Everybody steals things
passing
from the
it
NFL.
Along like this. Screw the Spurs. Come up with your own ideas. Mm. Your stupid fiesta. Cram it in your cram hole.
It was nice to have, man. I was really happy to see the Blazers back in the playoffs on my television last night.
Yes, it was. And I'm letting the hatred flow through me today.
Also, thankfully.
You should go flop again, Wemby.
Wouldn't you make an argument, given our first segment conversation? Schedule was perfect for us. They
perfect.
Were the last game of the weekend.
Perfect.
You could have been out at that time because it was nice weather. But like by that point, I was wiped. I was ready to relax, put my feet up.
I was outside all weekend. It's like, all right, that's enough sun. I'm good. Let's sit inside and watch a basketball game.
Oh,
that's
great.
Hey, did you know the NBA playoffs started? Let's watch
that?
It. Let's turn it on.
We'll get into more of the actual game stuff coming up at 7. Tom Dundon continues to be cheap in all the worst possible ways, and he's catching a lot of flack for it. This time by the national crowd. It's caught wind, and now it's a... It's a slow build, and now it's here. Tom Dundon, we have the cheapest owner in maybe all of sports. We'll talk about that. And our poll question of the day, how concerned are you about all the reported cost-cutting moves by new owner Tom Dundon? That's your Neighborhood Restaurant Group poll question of the day. You can vote at Dirt and Sprague, and we'll retweet it with at 105.1 The Fan. Let's pause on the Blazers. Bring it back at 7. That Foliant top of the hour.
Take a deep breath.
Let's pause and get to something else we love. We have college football in our lives.
Yes, we do.
Let's talk a little college football, and we'll get back to the Blazers at the top of the hour. Dirt and Sprague, we're back with more. All right, welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague with you. Vote for that poll question of the day on social media, at Dirt and Sprague. Get them in. Got a lot to get to today. I was going to do college football, and I think I've made the decision last minute.
Oh, we're going to pivot.
Omaha.
Hot route. Go stand over here.
We have...
Oh, what do we got?
Breaking news.
NFL's popping off. It's draft week, man. They're coming out with all sorts of announcements. Is that
you
where
know,
we're going?
I had been saying, like, this draft was not as exciting because of the quarterback thing. And I think that's a real thing. But in listening and reading some stuff over the weekend, I've become super excited about the draft this week.
It is NFL draft week. Happy draft week, everybody.
Mainly because of everything that's around it. And so we had this breaking news about 25 minutes ago. The 49ers and Trent Williams reached an agreement on a 2-year, $50 million extension that ties him to the Niners through 2027, which I believe would probably be his last year.
I'd imagine he's going to retire at that
point. Playing pro football.
You would think. He's up there in age, and he's held on remarkably well. For his age, like that doesn't usually happen for offensive linemen, but a lot of his metrics still point to him being one of the best in the game. And I feel like we've played this cat and mouse game for how many years in a row with the 49ers and Trent Williams, and what always ends up happening?
They get an extension.
They get a deal done.
Yep.
And so the only surprise here, now I don't know if there were certain markers of dates of when certain money would be guaranteed this or that. The only surprise out of it was that he didn't wait a little bit longer so he could miss out on offseason workouts and not have to go to OTAs, not have to go to training camp. Like, I'll sign this the third week of August. I'll be ready to play because I feel like he's done that a lot in the past as the old vet move of I don't really want to go to training camp, so I'm going to hold out. Hey, look at that. Season starts in 2 weeks. All right, I'm ready to go. Let's sign the extension now. That was the only surprise here. I figured they were going to get this done. And it's a lot of guaranteed money, but it's an offensive line that desperately needs him, and it's a team that desperately needs him.
I think when you look at it, you pay top dollar for a left tackle, especially one that all-time NFL, he's in the conversation.
Yep, it's arguably the second most important position on the field.
So, but he does add to the reality of the 49ers this year. I still think they have a lot of young guys in other spots, but the reality is they're largely looked at as the old team.
An old, aging team of can they stay healthy? Because
so
they couldn't last year.
Their offseason so far is extending Trent Williams.
Mm-hmm.
He's at the back end of his career. Signing Mike Evans, who missed significant time and broke his 1,000-yard receiving streak.
Super team-friendly deal, though.
Very team-friendly deal.
Not costly in that sense.
They brought in veteran Christian Kirk.
Yep.
They brought back Dre Greenlaw, whose 1 year in Denver was a disaster because of injuries.
Did not go well.
They traded for Osa Odighiwuza.
Yes, well done on the pronunciation.
They bring him back their kicker, Eddie Pinheiro, who was great for them. and they hired a new DC. So that's kind of the rundown of the Niners offseason, not counting the draft yet.
And the other question that is still looming in the back of my mind for them is that, you know, Evans obviously, I think, answered, at least for them. We'll see if it actually does on the field. But on paper, a question that they had on the outside of the Ayuk stuff, that's not going to work out. So we need another wide receiver.
Right.
And remember, Kittle also with the Achilles late in the year, like you don't know when, if, how that's going to look, right, when he's going to be back available. So they would say that's probably plugged a hole for them. The Mac Jones thing is still looming there. It's still looming. He's got one more year on his deal. They would love to have the insurance blanket of having him available, but are you gonna? You're not going to sign him to an extension after next year.
Well, he's not. He's going to go get.
He's
going to
go get a gig,
yeah.
Exactly. And right. You have a starting quarterback who you just gave a contract extension to, and so it's a fascinating conundrum. Of I get both sides of it because Brock missed how many? Eight last year,
eight.
I think eight games.
Mac was 5-3.
Mac played tremendous, and you could argue a huge reason why they made the playoffs. So it's nice to have that insurance. It also, he's a decent commodity at this point because of the way he played last year.
You're not wrong.
And you might be able to get something of, like, there's still teams out there that need a quarterback, or at least by the time you fast forward to, like, somebody's going to get hurt, something's going to happen. Somebody's going to need a Mac Jones, and they're going to be pretty desperate for it. And I'm just curious, for a team that's old, and I think some would argue the window is slowly closing on them, right? Of like how many more years Bosa, Williams, a lot of these guys are getting Kittle up there in age. How many more years do you have? A young draft pick could help them tremendously. Fascinated to see how they handle that.
Yeah, do they get an offer on draft day, Thursday?
Like, yes.
Like, hey, here's a second. We want a starting quarterback. We're kind of, you know, empty there. Here you go.
Yes, here's an early second round pick for Mac Jones.
Or do they make that trade in camp when another team's quarterback goes down? They're desperate. Here's a third and a fourth.
Right, now we got next year two more picks.
Next year you got two more picks.
Just curious to see how that works out.
Or do you just hold on to him the way you did Sam Darnold and you say, needed a good backup? The dude could win.
We'll go find another one next offseason.
And we lose him. Yeah, I mean. Yeah.
They did. Darnold was there for a year and he left, and then they went and got Mac Jones.
Is that not kind of their recipe, though?
Like, kind of is.
I think Kyle feels very confident in the ability to find the next backup quarterback.
Yes, he does.
To your point, it's a little odd, but they got an agreement with Trent Williams. That was their biggest thing at this moment, was to get their left tackle back. I had said all along I thought they'd get an agreement. Him and Kyle Shanahan are like best friends.
Yeah.
He loves Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah.
And I think he loves the organization. They've treated him really well. They've paid him a ton of money. And so they've reached an agreement. We had a pretty big trade in the NFL yesterday as well. Let's talk about that and what we think the thinking is on both sides here. So we'll get to that coming up next on 105.1 The Fan. The Blazers started their playoff journey yesterday. We'll dive into that coming up at the top of the hour. Tom Dundon, Scrooge McDundon, Tommy Two Nickels, Tommy Too Cheap.
No shirt for you.
Says no shirt for you. You a two-way guy? No round-trip ticket for you either.
Nope.
Cost-cutting moves everywhere. We'll get into that coming up here in the second hour of the radio program. As you heard there from our voice guy, it's NFL Draft Week on The Fan. And we just talked about the breaking news that Trent Williams has re-signed. He got an extension with the Niners. How about this? We had an NFL trade yesterday.
A pretty big NFL trade yesterday.
Yes, indeedy. The New York Football Giants have agreed to send Dexter Lawrence, who hated them and they hated him, and they couldn't reach an agreement on a contract extension. And so they traded Dexter Lawrence, defensive tackle, to the Bengals in exchange for the number 10 pick in Thursday's draft.
Love it. A rare deal where I look at it from both sides and say, love it. I have no critique. I have no complaint. I have no issues. I have no bones to pick.
Yeah.
You pointed out the relationship between the player and the team. Not great here. We all knew where this was likely heading. And if I were to tell you a week ago that you're going to trade your best defensive player and he wants out and that's going to be the outcome, what's the best thing possible that you could probably get if you're in the Giants' shoes? Top 10 pick in the NFL draft, pretty good.
Yeah.
Right? They already have the fifth overall pick. They might be trading down from that pick. There's been some reports. Maybe Dallas is sniffing
Dallas
around
might
five.
Want to get right up there,
and Dallas could trade them because the Cowboys have the 12th pick and the 16th pick, I believe. I think it's the 16th pick, maybe. But I know they have two first-round picks, and so maybe that's a move you make where all of a sudden you come out on Thursday and you got three first-round picks. The Giants are building in the right direction. I don't know if they're quite ready to take that big jump next year, but time will tell. The NFL shows us every year there's teams that take massive jumps. And now at the bare minimum, you have two of the top 10 picks in this NFL draft. That's a dream start to rebuilding and building up to where you want to go. And on the other side of it, you have a team who did the thing that they never really do. Like, they did the aggressive.
They love the,
like,
cheap contract.
They, of anybody who was going to go talk about cheap owners, right? And that's going to be a storyline throughout the show today. There's not one in the NFL that's arguably cheaper than Brown in Cincinnati. And I was shocked when I read it was them. Because if you would have told me last week, what do you think the Bengals would rather do? Draft a defensive lineman at 10 and have him on a rookie-scale contract over the next 5 years, or trade for one of the best interior defensive linemen in the NFL and give him a massive extension on top of it? And I would say there's no chance the Bengals do that. And so you're faced with a situation where you have one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL who's playing at an MVP level and you can't make the playoffs. Why? Because your defense is terrible, and now you've added. When you look at some of the numbers that Lawrence has had, like, I'll just a quick overlook of it. When he was off the field and on the field last year, on the field for the Giants, they were a top 10 defense versus the pass. Off the field, I think they were bottom 3 or bottom 10. Like, all of the numbers show when he's on the field, they're pretty good. When he's off the field, they're terrible. Mm-hmm. And then this one blew me away in terms of pressures from nose tackle in the NFL since 2022. So in the last 3 years, Dexter Lawrence has 108. You know who's number 2 on the list? Vita Vea at 32.
Damn.
I mean, he's a special player. He's only 28 years old, and you gave him the extension. Like, kudos to the Bengals for doing something to help him win now. And for the Giants, this was going to end no other way than trading him, and they got a top 10 pick out of it.
Yeah, let's go to the Bengal angle first, because to your point, and I read an article yesterday on The Athletic from Paul Daner Jr., who's covered Cincinnati for a long time, and he was just like, it's hard for me to even put into words how stunning this is for this organization.
I never do this.
No, he describes them treating their draft picks like gold bars.
Yeah.
They get cheap contracts, control for a while. They don't have to pay guys for a minute. And they sit on that because, to your point, they have a Tom Dundon owning their team. As Denny R. Joe Burrow. We'll have to wait and see on that one.
Will he get a Dexter Lawrence this offseason? Time will tell.
But when you evaluate what they traded and what the Giants got, like, you saying it's a rare win-win for both sides, I can certainly understand the argument. What was funny was listening to the ESPN show before we got on the air, and I can't remember who it was, but it was like he'd had a down season according to him, and then you're giving the advanced analytics that even in his down season, you're going to tell me?
Even in a down, so he did have a down season last year because he's been double-teamed more than literally any player in the NFL, that's going to impact it?
I don't think we know how to fully, outside of saying he's awesome,
it's
measuring
hard to contextualize
defensive
it.
Tackles is kind of tough, right?
You ready for this? I'll give you some numbers. When he was off the field last year, the Giants defense, 32nd in the league in yard per attempt, 31st in the league in sack rate, 27th in EPA per pass, 26th in pass success rate, and 23rd in pressure rate. When he's on the field, 7th in pass success, 8th in yards per attempt, 9th in sack rate, 10th in EPA per pass, and still number 22 in pressure rate. So the pressure rate didn't change a ton. Mm-hmm. The other things, they were 26th, 27th, 31st, and 32nd. When he's on the field, 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th.
Yeah.
That's a top 10 defense when he's on the field and a bottom 10 defense when he's off the field.
Here's a fun stat. The Bengals were 6-7 in the last 2 years when scoring at least 33 points. The rest of the league was 159, 13-2.
Like, it just,
they were sub 500 when they scored 33 points.
And I know we've talked about it, and there's a thought of, well, that will never really happen because the amount of money that is involved. But if we ever circle the quarterback that's and say, he's going to reach a breaking point, and this is not going to end well, who's the guy we all circle? It's Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
He's going to want out of Cincinnati if you keep doing this to him. His offensive line sucks and his defense gives up 30 a game. You can't win in the NFL when those are your realities.
So they also signed Boye Mafe for $60 million. Yeah. Remember, they got him from Seattle. They're bringing in Jonathan Allen. I don't know what he has to offer, but Lawrence is really good. You can easily make the case, like, what are they doing? It's the 10th pick. Are they going to get a player as good as that at 10? Nothing's a guarantee in the draft.
To the next 3 to 4 years where you still have an MVP-level quarterback,
the
especially.
Other side of that argument is the Giants now have 5-10 in the NFL draft.
That's pretty remarkable.
And there's a lot of buzz. The Cowboys want to trade. I don't know if they make a trade with the Giants in division, all that stuff. But the Giants are certainly primed. You can make arguments either way. I think because of where the Giants were and where they're trying to go with Harbaugh now, I would imagine they'd be really well served, unless they get incredible draft trade stuff,
right,
to just use both picks and continue to build up their organization with John Harbaugh now.
I tend to agree with you. 5-10 is a very unique opportunity where you have two bites at the apple.
You can go get a stud defensive player,
yes,
and then, or offensive lineman, whichever decision you want to go with, And then you can also add one of the best receivers in this draft.
I also think, to your point on the draft that you've been bringing up, of like the excitement level isn't quite there for you. I get it from the quarterback angle of it. The interesting part about this draft for me, sans like where do the Oregon guys go, because that will always do it, is I think this is a unique draft where the best players in the draft are not at the premium positions. We've talked about that for a long
time.
Safeties
and linebackers.
Like, you can make an argument the two best players in this draft are Jeremiah Love and Caleb Downs.
No doubt.
Now, you're not going to take a quarterback and a safety one and two. That's what I love about this for the Giants, though, is that if you wanted to take a swing on a guy at five who is not a quote-unquote premium position, guess what? You got five picks later.
I know.
Another pick. And so you could say, dude, Caleb Downs is here at five. He might be the best player in the draft. I don't care that he's a safety.
Safeties,
I get it, but I don't care. They've done it with defensive linemen and just got him a top 10 pick for Lawrence.
Seahawks had a lot of secondary guys, too.
I'll take him, dude. And so, yeah, if you wanted to take a roll of the dice on a guy who you normally wouldn't take at five because you only have one first-round pick and you want to make a premium position, maybe you're not going to take that swing, but maybe now you do, because then in five picks, you can go take the guy at the premium position, and that will help you win as well.
But more on the NFL throughout the show and throughout the week. It's draft week here on The Fan, but Dexter Lawrence traded to the Bengals over the weekend from the Giants. The Giants now on the clock at 5-10.
Think about the offenses he's going from, too. Like, Cowboys, good offensive line. Philly, one of the best offensive lines. He's now going to play the Ravens, who lost their starting center. The Steelers are probably going to have a 49-year-old starting quarterback. Good luck with that.
Yeah. And the Browns.
Shador Sanders.
Yeah.
Deshaun Watson. He is going to eat that division alive.
Loaded second hour. Let's kick it off. Our Blazers started their playoff quest yesterday. Lose game one. We'll start there. Hour two, Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 The Fan.